Turn to Matthew 11, please. Good evening. What a precious night tonight. Lazarus, come forth. Something about the Baltimore Ravens offense that was very offensive to somebody here. All right, so here it is, Matthew 11. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow, Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. This is Christ speaking. Imagine that God spoke to us through Christ and speaks tonight through Christ to our hearts. Wow. We are the church. We are his bride being prepared without spot, without blemish. One day we will be joined to him in a way beyond tonight. I mean, we are joined to him tonight. We are owned by him, possessed by him, bought by him, bought by his blood, and belong to him. And all things are delivered unto me of my Father. My Father gives me everything. And no man knows the Son but the Father. So there is a depth in that verse that's so precious to us. Nobody knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So the Son reveals the Father to us, but nobody really knows, how does it go there? Nobody knows the Father but the Son. This is the depths of God. We know God in one way as people. We believe in God and we see his creation, but I cannot know the Creator unless he reveals himself to us. And he does that through Christ. Remember Philip said, show us the Father. And Christ said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? Then Christ leaves and sends the Holy Spirit into the world, and he dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us who the Son is, and then the Son shows us the Father. And this is our inheritance, our privilege as people, that we would know God. That is a great honor. Turn with me to Jeremiah 9, please, and read it there. 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. But those are the things we glory in, our diploma, our muscles, our bank account, our position, our career, our appearance or looks or our family, or our abilities as people, which are really very commonly related to in our identity, my identity and who I am, right? So that's 9:23. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me. I was driving my grandson to school today, and I always look for subjects to talk about, and I told him about, do you know your friends? Tell me the names of a few of your friends. And we talked about friendship. And then I said, what if somebody who lived two streets away from you and doesn't know your friend would come to you and tell you something bad about your friend? They would, and I wanted him to learn the word slander. What does slander mean? What are you, somebody in the neighborhood could speak poorly about your friend, and would you believe them? Could somebody slander your friend to you? Like, you don't know your friend, like Ethan, you don't know who your friend really is. He's actually a bad guy. I know him better than you do. And he could say, I don't know. Do you know my friend? Do you know my friend? You know his name? Do you know his character? Do you know who he is? Right? The same happens with God. There are people that blaspheme God. There are people that slander God, and they take their understanding about life, and they say, if there's so much pain in the world, then I don't want to know God. I don't believe in a God that would have a world that's made like this. Or when I read the Bible, I read about genocide. My God would not allow genocide. Or God, it has wrath, and the earth opens up, and a family falls down, goes down in the pit, and I don't believe in a God like that. Or some silly story in the Bible, like Jonah was in a fish for 3 days and three nights. I don't believe in a God like that. So that's how it goes. And I said to Ethan, do you know your mother? Do you know your father? Do you know your sister? Your brother? Your grandfather? That's me. Your grandmother? Like, do you know them? Isn't that a good question? Do you know who they are? Do you know them kind of in a deep way? When Jesus was here, he said, you don't know God unless I reveal him to you. And then here it says, if you understand and know God, it's the greatest treasure in your life. Because when you know him, you love him. When he speaks to your heart, you recognize his voice. Because the Holy Spirit is sent into the world so that we can know God. And when somebody slanders God or blasphemes God, you discern that. You recognize what that is. I know what that is. Do you know what that is? Yes. We'll look at that in a minute. Look at verse 24. But let him that glories in this. This is the big enchilada, okay? This is the big thing. If you have something to glory in, it's not those small things. It's this, that you understand and know me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. Is there a genocide in the Bible? Yeah. What does God think about that? Well, that's what do you think about this verse? He said to the Jewish people, any immigrant, any foreigner, Anybody who's not Jewish, you love him, you receive him, you are to love the stranger because you're never to forget that you were strangers in Egypt. What's that mean? Love. You're to love people. And when you harvest in your field, you leave things in the field for the poor. And remember the poor. And regarding women, remember you honor them. You don't abuse them. And people that are different from you, you are to love them. You are to love your neighbor. Who is God? He is the God that sent Christ into the world to save us when we were sinners, to love us when we were enemies, to give us the Holy Spirit so that we would have a new life, and that by that new life we would know God. And in God we would say, Father, Father. We pray to God like that. I dare call him Father. The Muslim woman wrote a book, I dared to call him Father. You can't call God Father. Yes, you can. 80 times in the New Testament it says, Father, Father. 8 times in the Old Testament, Father. What is the meaning of this? It is that we are honored to go more deeply. The world says many things about our faith, many things about our God, about God, many things about us. They say many things about things they don't understand, many things about the Bible. They pass a lot of judgment on things that they do not understand. But I want to be on Jesus' side. And I would like Jesus to say to me that you can't know the Father unless I show him to you. But when I do, then take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. That's what we want in life. An easy yoke. Have you noticed that the world has a very heavy yoke on it? Have you noticed that actually many times we as Christians, we have a heavy yoke on our life? But actually, he is busy lifting it off and giving us a new life of grace, a life of faith, an easy yoke, a light burden, an easy way, a gospel, the ministry. So that little illustration that I shared with my grandson about relationships came to me years ago regarding my wife. I know my wife very well. She's my wife. If my neighbor 2 streets over came to me and lied to me about my wife, say, you don't really know your wife. I go, are you kidding? Who are you talking to right now? Who are you talking to and what are you talking about? You have nothing to say about that. What do you know about my wife? You know nothing about my wife. Do you have that in your heart about your friends, about your church, about your Bible, and most importantly, about God? Do you know that the world says lies about God all the time? Let me show you one, and we'll finish up here. Turn to Matthew 28. Jesus was raised from the dead. Then he appeared to Peter, and he restored Peter. What do you think Peter felt when he was restored? How did that feel to him? Jesus said, do you love me? Lord, you know I do, and so on. We won't. That's not the message. The message is this one. I love you. Do you love me? And when Peter is done 3 times, Does he know the Lord? He knows the Lord. Is he touched by the Lord? He's touched by the Lord. Is he restored? He is healed. Does he ever write in his epistles about denying the Lord three times? He never does. 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He doesn't say anything about it. Very interesting. He never says anything about how he denied the Lord three times and was restored. He doesn't do it. Paul, on the other hand, it was in his biography many times. I am the one. I was injurious and I attacked Christians and I was there and this is what I did. It sounds like he struggles with the whole thing. I don't think he did. He knew forgiveness, but I'm just saying Peter, he is restored. And on the street in Jerusalem at the same time is this lie. It's Matthew 28 in verse 12 and 13. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money, verse 15. They took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Actually, you can today ask a Jew, how did this go? He was resurrected. They could say that. I have had that experience. Know that his body was stolen. It's reported even to this day, the lie. Was it a lie? It's a lie, isn't it? Is it or isn't it a lie? It's a lie. They lied. So on the same street in Jerusalem, I'm saying within the same city, Peter is restored and he's preaching Christ. And there's people over here saying, no, they stole his body. No, we all know it. They stole his body. Kind of like it, like the Greater Grace Church. Is it a good church? Yeah, I love it. Great church. Excellent church. No. Bad church. Bad church. Is it in the same street? The same place? Is it in the same time? Same city? Is there the reality of God in our life? Or is there the slander of the work of God in the world? Is it happening? Yes. Has it ever been different? No. God said, if you eat from that tree, you will die. The liar said, you will not die. You will not die. Who is the liar? Satan. He's the liar, the father of lies. Okay. Who is God? We love him. We respect him. We're humble before him. We know him. We love him. The yoke is easy. Life is better. It's better with God. Walk with God. Know him. Understand him. Trust him. No. There is no God. No. You cannot trust him. No, not the God of the Bible. No, Bible bad. Religion bad. Christianity bad. Right-wing fundamental bad. Legalistic bad. Church is bad. Leave the church. Get out of there. It's dangerous. Get out of there. That's the lie. But do you know? My wife, I know her. I know her. And I love her. I know her. The devil is saying, no, bad, right? Wow, what a story. It's repeated over and over in this lifetime. One day, the whole thing's over. Won't be this way anymore. There'll be light everywhere and truth everywhere and the glory of God everywhere, and the knowledge of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That day is coming. But until then, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. We'll cover the earth, you the knowledge of God. But until that day, and it's interesting. Jesus said, you can't know God. You can't know him unless I reveal him to you. Yeah. So there's a lot of talk about God, but do you know God? I've been in parts of the world, not Christian parts of the world, but I've been in parts of the world where they talk about God, they fear God, they worry about it, they are troubled by it, they ignore it, they manage their religion, they struggle with it, but they don't have the love and the passion, the worship, the faith, the trust. They don't have the warmth, the fellowship, the hunger. They don't have a hunger that just goes on and on and on, like with Christ, who was hungry all the time to do the will of God. He knew the Father, and he was all the time hungry for God, and he knew God very well. And so, if we do, in some measure, a little bit, we glory in it, quietly trusting in our heart. And by the way, one day we'll be on our deathbed. Perhaps that's how we pass away. There'll be only one thing that counts, and that is, did you know why you were on the earth? Did you know God who put you here? Did you walk with God and trust him? Was God your Father? Was God the ultimate point and purpose of life? And when you say in your heart, yes, yes, regardless of my frailty and my ignorances and my problems, I knew that it was the Lord God Almighty who loved me, carried me, cared for us, and gave us a yoke that was easy and helped us through life. Yes, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that we can walk with you in troublous times. We can actually know you in our hearts and in your word. You will guide us. You will correct us. You will help us. You will show yourself to us. And know who you are. Thank you, Lord. Lead us in seasons, Lord, of great faith. Also, you said to us that we are to humble ourselves before you, and you will lift us up. To wait upon you, you will renew our strength. To believe in you, you will restore us. Yes, Lord, you said it. We believe you. Heal our soul. Restore the years of the cankerworm is eaten. Restore broken relationships. Restore our own broken heart. Heal us. Call upon us, Lord. Call our name. Oh God, we are your sheep and you are our shepherd. You will carry us and lead us. Thank you, Lord. Bless our church, the great responsibility that you put upon us to live and walk before you and to be ministers of the New Testament. Yes, Lord, we are not sufficient for these things. But to know you, Wow. Yes, Lord. Maybe someone here listening, you have not yet started your journey with God, and you want God in your life, then come by faith. He's hanging on a cross saying, come unto me and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Put your trust in him and he will save you, forgive you, put his spirit in you, call you by name. In Jesus' name, he will do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.